He's the fine columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the cover of the sports section, like today, for example. If you missed, catch up, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter, the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how are you?
Hey, Steve, I'm okay. How are you doing today?
All righty. Speaking of okay and kind of down, my God, the horrible news about the Royals pitcher, Yordano Ventura, thrown from his Jeep. The disturbing report now, he might have been robbed while he lay dying. Not just because you're a Royal fan, but you went to the World Series a couple of years ago, and you actually saw him pitch. And just, how do you even process heartbreaking stuff like this?
Well, it really hit me like a punch to the gut. I woke up Sunday morning, and that was the first thing I saw. I opened up Twitter and saw the tweet that the Royals confirmed the death of Yordano Ventura, and I couldn't believe it. Because, yeah, you mentioned, I mean, one of the memories that I will cherish for the rest of my life is sitting in the stands for Game 6 of the 2014 World Series, watching Yordano Ventura throw 7 shutout innings against the Giants. And he's such a young guy, only 25 years old. People had described him as potentially the next Pedro Martinez, and I don't know if he ever would have gotten there. He could be, to be honest, kind of a frustrating pitcher to watch, because when he was on, he was so good. He could throw 100 plus and had this really devastating curveball, but he could be kind of erratic, and he was young and a little bit immature, so he could be frustrating to watch. But when he was on, he was really special. And he had such a bright future in front of him, so it's such a sad thing to see.
Like you said, the way it just starts the day off, yuck. Over the weekend, we got the news, Oregon's, well, new assistant, now former assistant, David Reeves, popped for a Dewey. We learned that there was another coach in the car. You know, you're talking about a supposed leader and teacher of young men. Some have come on this show. I've read in comment sections the program overreacted in firing him. I just can't wrap my head around that logic. So, you know, in this case, as swift and as kind of final as the penal measures were, you think Oregon was on the money here?
Well, it was a stiff punishment, no doubt about that, but I thought it was warranted in this case. You know, I thought he deserved it for what he did, and he also deserved it just for being an idiot, because in light of what happened with the strength coach, you've got to know, if you're a member of that staff, hey, we should be on our best behavior right now. The head coach has already taken some heat over something, and the last thing that Willie Taggart needs is for another one of his assistant coaches to be in the news for unflattering reasons. So just an all-time bonehead decision by David Reeves to get behind the wheel of that car. And, you know, ultimately all the responsibility has to go on him. He's the one who made the choice to drive that night. But I think it does, you know, it does call into question the judgment, maybe, of some of these people that Willie Taggart has hired, because, you know, now it's 3 of them that have had some type of, you know, off-field incident, because Jimmy Doherty, the receivers coach, was in the car with David Reeves, and you know, he wasn't charged with a crime, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be disciplined. But you know, his judgment is called into question too, because he could have said, "Hey, I don't think you're in a condition to drive tonight. Let's call a cab." You know, he was in a position to save David Reeves a lot of pain and suffering if he'd stepped in there.
No, I agree 100%. I think that all too often people think everything is negotiable. I don't think so here. Why don't we get to something a little more uplifting? We were doing our pregame Saturday, and after the show, Dan Straley comes over and says hi. Thurston grad, super nice guy. You wrote about him today. To the Miners, to the A's, to the Reds, and the Cubs, now traded to the Marlins. So let's start with the basics. Was he surprised? What was his reaction to getting dealt again?
Well, you know, it's funny. I had actually talked to Dan Straley about 3 weeks ago, when he was still with the Reds, just about his offseason, and you know, his name had been mentioned in some trade rumors, and at the time he was really hoping he could stay with the Reds. You know, he felt like he'd found something there and was hoping he could fit into their long-term plan. But then, you know, just a couple weeks later, it turns out that he's traded to the Marlins, and I think after maybe the initial shock of it, I think he's pretty excited about it. He's going to a good team. and a team that gave up some prospects to get him there. So obviously they have an investment in him and are invested in making it work. But it's kind of the life of a major league pitcher. You know, he's been, I think, with five or six organizations now, been in the majors, been in the minors, just looking for a chance to pitch. And at least he's going to have that, it looks like, in Miami.
Yeah, and he's only 28. We're talking with the Register Guard columnist Austin Meek. He had the best season of his career, you know, records for wins, innings, starts, ERA. He's had injury issues. You wrote something that was really interesting. I didn't know. A trip to Seattle, Driveline Baseball. He gives them a lot of credit. What could you tell us about what you described as kind of his physical breakthrough?
Yeah, you know, Dan had a really strong start of his career with the A's, and then it kind of stalled out a little bit for him. He was in the minors. He was just looking for a team to give him a chance. And so in the offseason 2 years ago, he went to this Driveline Baseball operation in Seattle. And what they do is they use weighted baseballs. You know, some of them are lighter and some of them are heavier. But the goal is to build up strength in that shoulder. And his velocity had been down. And so he really felt like the weighted ball training was a way to get his strength back up and to get his velocity back up. And it's really paid dividends for him. He really swears by it now.
Yeah, that was a real neat aspect. You also covered California hiring Justin Wilcox. Man, did I feel old. I remember calling a couple of his high school games. You talked to his basketball coach, Craig Rothenberger. For those who missed it, great story, 1994. They were running a 4-on-4 drill, and the guys were getting a little grumpy. I guess pick it up from there. What did Rothenberger say about, you know, maybe a moment that gave you a glimpse into what Justin would become?
Yeah, it was kind of a neat story about Justin's senior year of high school, and they were running that drill, and it was kind of a famous drill that they did that could get a little bit physical, and some guys were starting to grumble and complain about it. So Justin Wilcox asked if he could talk to the team, and then he brought all the players together at midcourt and just basically said, "Hey guys, you know, this drill is really important. We're going to do it. We're not going to complain about it. It's going to be physical. You might get knocked down. You might get upset, but when it's all over, go find the guy you're most upset at and go shoot free throws with him." So, you know, for a high school senior to have the presence of mind to say something like that, I guess it kind of gives you a window into his future as a coach.
I'm talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Also in the article, Justin's dad, Football Hall of Famer Dave Wilcox, who also happens to be just a terrific guy. What did he have to say about, you know, whether or not Justin was even thinking about a head coaching gig, or how it came about and why they felt this move to Berkeley was right?
Dave Wilcox said that they had talked about it through the years, and Justin had always said, you know, when the time is right, when it's the right situation, I might be interested in it. I don't think he was one of those guys who went out there and, you know, pursued every head coaching job that was open. I think he was willing to be patient, and it paid off for him. You know, for a first head coaching job, to get a job in the Pac-12, that's a pretty good place to start. And, you know, the question with Justin always was, would he end up at Oregon in some capacity? And Oregon had a couple chances to hire him and went different directions. And I think Cal is a good situation for him from the perspective that it's familiar. He knows the West Coast. He knows the Pac-12. But it's a little bit removed from being home, you know, where you're the conquering hero, you know, and, you know, there's all the hometown pressure and the expectations that come with that. So I think this is a good place for him to get started as a head coach.
Let's get to some Oregon basketball. A little scare with the Dylan Brooks foot injury. He'll be back. Some are saying maybe Thursday. I heard somebody else say, I don't think he's going to be back till mid-February. But they've won without him. They crushed on Saturday. I know it's not an exact science, but somebody asked you, well, maybe I'll ask you, what can they accomplish with a healthy Brooks? And heaven forbid, let's say he was down for an extended period of time. What would your reaction to that be?
Well, I think if you look at the biggest goals that Oregon is chasing, which would be another Pac-12 title, a Final Four, and at the very end of the road, maybe even a national championship, I don't think Oregon can accomplish any of those things without Dylan Brooks. I think they could still have a really good season. I think they could still win a bunch of games. They could make the tournament. They could maybe even make a run into the second weekend. But if they're going to reach their ceiling, they have to have a healthy Dylan Brooks. And that's why, A, it was great news to learn that the foot is not broken. And so you just hope that that sprain heals okay and that it doesn't become anything more serious and Dylan can get back on the court. But if I'm Oregon, I would be super cautious with him. You know, I'm surprised that there's even discussion that he might play at Utah. To me, I just think you say, you know, let's take what's reasonable and then let's go a step beyond that to make sure that Dylan is totally healthy for March. Because, you know, another Pac-12 title would be great, but I think for Oregon this year, it's really going to be about what do they do in the tournament. So, you know, if they drop a couple games in the Pac-12 because they don't have Dylan Brooks, I think you can live with that if it means you get the best version of Dylan Brooks in the tournament.
No, I agree. I think that they have a real shot to make the Final Four. You can't screw around with that. That don't happen too often. Final thought, and I'll get back to baseball because it just dawned on me. I talked to you last Tuesday. We learned the next day Tim Raines, Jeff Bagwell, Yvonne Rodriguez are now Hall of Famers. Rodriguez on the first ballot. Any of these guys, are you like all in, one in, two in, none in? I'm just always curious as an actual baseball guy what you thought about the announcement last Wednesday.
I thought they got it right. I support all three of those guys. It's kind of weird that players I remember watching as a kid now are going into the Hall of Fame. That makes me feel a little old, actually. But, you know, my question of coming away from this year was, so what does it mean for the PED guys? It seems like they're getting closer, but is there enough momentum that Barry Bonds is going to get in anytime soon? I don't know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Jeff Bagwell, you know, pretty similar guy to Barry Bonds, you know? It's when you get into, you know, the parsing of who did what, and it's just that the steroid era is so convoluted when you get down to the details of it. So I've always been in favor of just put them all in. Seems like it's moving that direction, but still a ways to go.
Yep, that's an interesting take, and we've covered every angle of this since last week. As always, catch up with what Austin has to offer in the Register Guard, online registerguard.com. He's here to start the program every Tuesday on Twitter at Austin Meek RG. Excellent stuff as always, sir. Always appreciate your time. You enjoy the rest of your week.
Okay, you too, Steve. Thanks.
Take it easy.